Praise the Lord, everyone. Aren't you grateful to be in God's house? Amen. I'm going to ask my wife if she'll come and share whatever's on her heart. Amen. Why don't we just take a moment and give God praise? Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated. Aren't you grateful to be in God's house? What a beautiful night. What a beautiful church. And I just feel privileged to be here with you wonderful people. My heart is so full, and I'll just share briefly this morning. I was sharing with your pastor what a lovely church and how you could feel the Spirit of God so strong. But what really touched me is the spirit of unity that's in this place. It's not in every church, so I hope you don't take that for granted, to know that you have leaders that God has placed here and He's given them to you. And when you do your service as unto the Lord blesses you for that, but it is also a blessing to your leaders, so you can know that you will be blessed in return for that. So I was very blessed, touched by that. I'm also very touched to see how God uses your young people. And that's such a powerful testimony to vision that it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God has a work for you to do for Him. And I'm so grateful to know that it doesn't matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. Pastor Downs just shared 2 years of suffering. Now, when we're not doing the suffering, 2 years doesn't sound long at all. Oh, 2 years. 2 years. That wasn't long. If you're living Job's life, 2 years sounds like a very long time. And so I want to encourage somebody here tonight. You may be in that 2 years. You may be coming out on the other side of that, or you may just be beginning whatever your tough time is. It doesn't really matter where you are in your journey. You can trust the Lord. You can trust that He will bring you through to the other side. You can trust that if He is the one who called you, and He has, because you have breath in your lungs, that means He wants to use you for His kingdom. You can trust that He will continue the good work that He began in you, and He will see you through to the other side. Thank you for hosting us. You've been so fabulous. Thank you again for the Bryans for having us for dinner. Sister Kim, an angel. She has just chauffeured. She's going to need like a month vacation. She has just run us around and all that she does with the Bible College. And thank you for the wonderful lunch today. What a blessing. You have a fabulous pastor's family. I hope you appreciate them, and I hope you're grateful for all that God is doing in your church through them. God bless you all.
Amen. And of course, our son Jude is with us tonight as well. He is a trooper, enduring not only just, let's give him a hand. Sure. Hey, you want to come? Want to say something, buddy? No. All right. Well, this young man has endured hours and hours and hours of a plane ride all the way from Texas to here, and then as one of us has been, filming for the Bible College, of course he's hanging out in the room or whatever he's doing, and now we got a chance to come and hang out and see some things, some wonderful sights here in the beautiful city. We got to see Questacon. Is that right? Am I saying that correctly? That's right. That's all right. And then we went to your library, and it wasn't apparently not just any old library. This was your actual, the big research library. And so we spent a little time there, and then we wandered over to the museum and had just a great opportunity to do that. But I am grateful my son is able to join us on this very special trip. And I know he's made a lot of great friends here, so thank you for welcoming him into your heart and letting him be a part of the church. Amen. Can we just give Jude a hand? Amen. Love you, buddy. Amen. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because, first of all, thank you all the folks up here. Why don't we give this wonderful team behind me. And I apologize to the media team. I am going to go with the sermon that I originally wasn't going to go with. I'm going with my other one. So if you've got scripture verses, great. If not, you're just going to have to hang with me a little bit, if that's all right. Throughout the course of tonight, I'm just trying to be sensitive to the leading of God. And I think that's so vital, so important. We're spirit-led people, amen? Where is God guiding and leading and directing? That's exactly what I desire to do. And so my sermon tonight will take a different direction, but I believe is something that will not only hopefully encourage us, but my hope it'll encourage your future, because I'd like to preach the fact that we serve a God that cares about all of us tonight, but not only cares about us, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what we are enduring and going through, and I'm going to trust that the presence of God is going to be with us to speak life and hope to all of us here tonight. Amen? I guess I ought to start with at least a fun story. Ever realize in life when you've made the mistake? So if you're a husband-to-be, guys, this is the thing you do not do. So it was a few years ago, Mother's Day, and unfortunately, apparently I had just plain forgotten that Mother's Day was approaching. Well, one of the customs that we do is try to get mom a gift or even a card, just simply a little Hallmark card, you know, go to the store, whatever, you know, apparently. Now, back home, we have something called Walgreens. Apparently, here, they call them the chemist shop. And I thought, that is such a strange name for a pharmacy. But, hey, that works. I suppose there's little cards there. Maybe there's not. I'm not exactly sure. But in our chemist shops back home, you can buy little cards for mom or buy cards. And they sell candy. And they have you can have film developed there. And they, of course, sell pharmaceutical items so that you can, of course, purchase and use for if you got a cold or whatnot. Well, unfortunately, our chemist had closed for the evening, and so I thought, well, it's Mother's Day tomorrow. What am I going to do? And I thought, oh, my son, this will be perfect. I said, buddy, I need you to come to the room. We've got to do something very special for mom. Well, what is it? What is it, Dad? What do we got to do? I need you to draw on this piece of paper, this construction paper, and draw just a little heart. And on the heart, and then say Happy Mother's Day to mom, because we're going to make her a homemade card. Oh, that sounds like a great idea. Of course, the next morning, my wife comes out. Oh, this is so wonderful. This is so beautiful. Wow, you have purchased. No, you didn't purchase anything. You created, using your imagination, this wonderful Mother's Day card. Oh, I'm just so blessed. And I go, buddy, you saved the day. Amen. Why don't we give Jude a hand for that? So, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, now this idea of switching gears, moving from the serious a little bit, from the funny to the serious, in life sometimes we'll make decisions and perhaps they have caused somebody else harm. Maybe intentionally, unintentionally, but perhaps there's things that even occurred in our own lives that for whatever form or fashion or reason, now we find ourselves in a state of uncertainty, perhaps distress, even sadness. Why? Because somehow we have allowed and we have hurt somebody with words or actions. We ask for their forgiveness. We hope everything is going to work out. And in those moments, don't you hope for a second chance? Don't you hope for that moment that forgiveness can be extended back to you? I know I am. I know there's many opportunities in life that I have actually made a mistake or done something to upset someone. Say, I pray that you will forgive me. I'm sorry for doing this to you or to whatever end it would be. But in life, when we make a mistake, perhaps it's in our careers, parenting, our marriages. These are choices that often lead us to wish that we could have made a different choice because ultimately it has caused someone harm and hurt someone we care about. When it comes to Jesus Christ, here's the thing I know about the Lord. We serve a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance, because we serve a God full of grace and wonder and love today. Amen. Do you believe that we serve that kind of loving Savior today? Praise God for that. I want to give God praise for that. And so here's what I would like to share. Only Jesus Christ can make all things new and provide us the second chance that we are longing for. And so today, I want to encourage you tonight by simply sharing that your future is not determined by your past. Your future is not determined by what you used to be. Amen. It's not determined what you used to do. But your future, my future, is determined by Jesus Christ and Him alone, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is able to transform us, bring restoration and healing and deliverance to our life. As long as you are sitting on the sidelines of life asking, why did this happen to me? Dare I say, you will maintain an attitude of being defeated. You see, God desires for us to shake the dust off our feet. In fact, doubts of fear and discouragement to be thrown outside the windows of life and embrace what God has for us. Because God has something greater in store for His people today. Amen. He's got a greater future than we can even fathom, even realize today. Because it's the author talked about this today in Scripture. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Therefore, I know that God can heal me. God can help me. God can deliver me. God can save me today. Amen. But I've got to be willing to trust in Jesus. Jesus says, I can bless what has been broken. It was John Ortberg that wrote, redeeming is what God's really into. He is the finder of directionally challenged sheep. All right? Jesus is the searcher of missing coins, the embracer of foolish prodigal living. His favorite department is the lost and the found. For centuries, the third parable in Luke has been called the parable of the prodigal son. Perhaps it might be better read to be the parable of the loving father. For I feel like it's the father who is the hero in this story. And so for a moment, if you'll bear with me, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 19. It sets the stage for our conversation here tonight. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 19, it reads this way. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, forgive me for the portion of goods that falls to me, give me that portion. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. There he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods and that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, there's a moment in the midst of our despair, in the midst of the pig pens of life, okay? There's this moment when you can get a hold of yourself and realize, wait a minute. This isn't how it's really supposed to be. This is not my best living now. This is not what Jesus intended for my life to be. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. It's time to make a change. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Powerful yet challenging portion of Scripture. We're going to speak about this tonight. The God of
the second chance. I want to encourage someone here tonight that God is still reaching for you. God loves you. No matter where you are right now, no matter what you've been going through, despite the past, despite your present condition, we serve a God that cares about you and is concerned about your life and desires to extend a lifeline of hope into your circumstance today. Because we serve the God of the second chance. Oh, would you just for a moment begin to raise your hands and begin to thank God for that. The grace and the power demonstrated through Scripture in the life of Christ today. In Jesus' name, speak life and hope to us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This parable by some is regarded as perhaps the greatest parable that Jesus said. Because he has come, Jesus has come to seek and save the lost, the poor, the outcast, the sinner. He has come to save all of us here tonight and bring about restoration for our souls. The parable begins really with this description of this loose, prodigal style of living of this younger son. I mean, first of all, the fact that he's demanding from dad, hey, I need all of my inheritance now. In fact, is pretty disrespectful in my context, in my culture, in my city. Probably be the same thing if you were to go to your parents and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, could you sell everything you got and just give me half of that? Because I'm heading down to Melbourne, want to go hang out with everybody and just kind of. Probably wouldn't work out so well, right? Not received very well by your folks, by your parents. In the passage, it's not like this was a cultural norm. This is not how life is supposed to be. It's not some strange custom. It was unthinkable to ask this question of your family members. This younger son refused to wait until his father passed away and wanted his inheritance right now. It's almost as if he was saying to dad, Father, you're dead to me. I need my inheritance now. It's like you have died, and I want everything today. A sad but yet important part of this parable. Now, here's the thing about this young man. It's not like he wanted to go invest it, you know, and do something great with it or purchase some wonderful stock options or something. No, he goes and wastes. He literally wastes everything that he has on prodigal living. A carefree style of life, an irresponsible manner, even worse. He reaches rock bottom. He takes a job feeding pigs. Now, in this room, perhaps you feed pigs or have pigs, or maybe you've got a farm. That's certainly fine. But you've got to understand what's going on, because to the Jewish individual, this would have been the lowest of things that he could have accomplished and done as a career move. This was not the way to be successful in, say, Facebook or Google or even IBM. This is not the way to the top. To become a member of the pig pen society and try to somehow gain the favor of pigs. This was not something that you would do. But yet what we find in this passage, this young man comes to his senses. He realizes, wait a minute, in the middle of what's going on, in this moment of sinfulness and carefree living, I realize this is not the way life is supposed to be. Even though I have been hanging out with the pigs, perhaps the most lowest of lows, something that was unclean to the Jewish folks. You know, here's the thing about our lives and associations with unclean things. We can't totally relate to what's going on in this passage in our Western mindset. But what I can share is this. Sometimes we settle for things in the world rather than embrace God's very best for us at home. We settle for things or feel like the, I don't know if you use this phrase, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Sometimes we as Christians, what we'll do, we'll embrace an other style of living rather than embrace a heavenly land and godly perspectives and principles for our life. We get so caught up in the here and now. We don't think about the consequences of our actions. We run from God, our family, our friends, even sometimes the responsibilities we face in our daily work. Why? Because we want to live for self rather than live for God and His kingdom. This young man traveled to a far country seeking to fulfill some desire within him. So far off God's path for his life. But ultimately it took feeding pigs for him to realize, I've got to go home. He rehearsed this repentant speech, feelings of regret, thinking, if I could just go to my father and say, Father, I am not worthy of your grace and mercy. I am not worthy to be in your home. I am not worthy to be under your protection, in covenant relationship with you, Father. I am not worthy. But if I could just be as one of your hired servants, everything will be all right. Because I realize the glitz and the glamour of the world, it only lasted for a moment, for a season, for a little blip on the shores of life. But what I realized that I needed something that I could bank on, something eternal, something that would literally change the course of my life, and that would be to have a long-lasting relationship with my Father in my Father's house. Maybe you've been here where you try to mend a burned bridge. You've got this knot in your stomach. Say, God, help me have the right words to say, just the right tone, so that this person could perhaps forgive you. You hope, you pray, they will. You have this deep nagging in your heart, wishing you could turn back the clock, wishing you could turn back time. The most incredible thing about this story is that the Father, this astonishing love that's demonstrated by this Father, it's powerful. It also demonstrates the unconditional love the Father has for all of us here tonight. I'm thankful for God's love given freely to all of us in this room. Where would I be without God's love in my life? Where would I be with the unconditional love of the Father in my circumstances tonight? I find that there's many examples that we see throughout this scripture. But first of all, I want to encourage you today that the Father loves you regardless of your past. Jesus loves you regardless of your past failures, your past sins. Jesus Christ loves you. And He has unconditional hope, peace, an inheritance available for all of us here tonight. This love is something difficult for all of us to understand. Doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it'd be kind of like this unconditional love that the Father would welcome me back home, that Jesus would welcome me back home, even though I almost accused him or said to him or felt in a way, lived in a manner that would say that, Jesus, you're dead to me. Lord, you're dead to me. But yet in the midst of my sin, in the midst of my pig pen experience, experience. The presence of God is still in the middle of that moment. My friend, I want to encourage someone tonight. We serve a God of the second chance. My Lord and Savior loves you. He's concerned about you. He desires for you to get to heaven. Amen. He desires for you to have an abundant life in Him. This is one of those kinds of sermons I hope encourages somebody tonight. John 3:16 shares with us how God loves us unconditionally. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord trades our sorrow, trades our rebellion, and He trades it with eternal life. That's the kind of love that God has for me. That's the kind of love God has for us today. He loves us so much that Jesus Christ came to this earth. God manifest in flesh. He came to this earth. He walked the earth with us as humanity. He talked with us. And eventually would go to Calvary and paid the ultimate price for humanity's sin. The Bible declares the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death. But the gift of God, it's eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our Lord, I'm thankful today for eternal life. Amen. Aren't you grateful today for eternal life? It's found through Jesus Christ alone. Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times that we know about. Yet some 56 days after this denial, it's Peter who's used to preach salvation on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were brought into the kingdom of God. Why? Because God gave Peter another chance. My friend, today I want to declare that we serve a God of the second chance, of the third chance, of the fourth chance. So no matter where you are, if you are breathing tonight, you have an opportunity to experience God's love. You have another opportunity to find forgiveness and find salvation and find healing. Amen. You don't have to live in the pig pen of your experience any longer. Why? Jesus Christ has come. Jesus has come so that we might have life tonight. Can we give God praise for that together? Hallelujah. The same God that restored Peter is the same God that desires to restore you tonight, regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of what you have done. We serve a God that is full of glory and full of the desire to restore us back to Him. We can find forgiveness. We can find deliverance from our past. Failure is not final today. Why? Because it's time for us to embrace God's grace. It's time for us to acknowledge the power of Calvary being made real in our life. Where would I be without Calvary's grace in my life? The Spirit of God transforming me daily and molding me in His image. Because the moment I realize God is up to something is the moment I daily must die to Him. Amen. This dying daily is an important aspect of the Christian lifestyle. Not only is there unconditional love, but the Father longs for us to return home tonight. It's never too late to go home. It's never too late to embrace God's very best for our life. No matter how hard it might have been for the son to return home, he would have to swallow his pride, face his father, and tell him, "Dad, I've lost everything." Face to face with brothers and friends and other folks there at the house. How difficult would it have been for this individual? How many times in our life have we sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But yet God still loves us. God still cares about us. And he's got something greater in store for your future here, my brother, my sister. Because no matter how much you have failed him, no matter where you find yourself tonight, we serve a God of the second chance today. And he desires greater things for your future. Do you believe today that we serve a God of the second chance? If so, why don't we give God thanks for that? I imagine the father perhaps could go out to his porch, look down the road and wonder, could this be the day my son returns home? Could this perhaps be the moment that I can welcome my son back into the fold? Day would go, another day and another day, until one day he would see this figure of this young man far enough away. He looks down this long path, wondering, hoping, is this my son? And if so, I think he's coming home. It's on this moment he's seeing the son walking up the road toward the house, straining eyes, wondering, hoping. As the son got closer, the father recognized him. It was his son. He runs toward him, filled not with hate, not with regrets, but with compassion and love. He falls upon the neck of the son. Luke 15 and 20 reveals a powerful moment shared between the father and the son in this passage. And he arose and came to his father in verse 20. When he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion. God loves you tonight. He's reaching for you tonight. I'm here today to declare that the love of God, God's compassion, it extends further than we could ever imagine today. He's concerned about what you're going through right now. He loves you. He wants more for you. He has not forgotten you. When he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion. Ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, here's the rehearsed script. I've sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I'm no longer worthy. Son, if you only knew, we could never be worthy enough. We could never be good enough to earn God's love and grace. No longer worthy to be called your son. I imagine that as they walk down the path, the son saying, look, Dad, I've messed up. I've lost everything. I'm so sorry. Pretty confident tears would have been rolling down his face. Because chances are, if that would happen to us, that's exactly how I would be feeling. Because you know what? I love my son. Wouldn't matter what he did. I would still care about him. And I would just be glad my son has come home. Amen? Look, I want you to know the Father loves you. God loves you so much. He just wants you home. He just wants you in deeper relationship with him. He does not long for you to be on the fringes of the church, on the outskirts looking in. He desires to have you deepen your faith. Ground yourself in God. Ground yourself in the Word of God, the things of God, the calling of God for your life. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. I believe that. Everyone in this room, you've got a call of God to go do something for Jesus. God has a mission for all of us. He desires his plan and purpose to be fulfilled in this earth. And it's only going to be accomplished when men and women of faith pick up their cross and begin to follow Jesus. Luke 15 and 22. The father said to his servants, and here's the powerful part about it, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, apparently didn't have any shoes, put some sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Praise God. Look, I want you to know that even though it might seem like the end of the road, it might seem like you have no way out, it might not seem like it makes any sense, the Father loves you. He cares about you so much so that he will welcome you back into his fold, welcome you back and give you the second chance you're longing for, the third chance you need, and will declare what was once lost is now found. Because finally, the Father wants to celebrate your future. God wants to celebrate your future, the future in returning back to him. Amen. Because it's time for us to come home. It's time for us to deepen our faith. It's time for us to go to the highways and byways and share this precious gospel with a lost and dying world. The lost soul desires, and it's time for us all to come home. When a lost child returns back to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. Amen. The angels rejoice, and so should we. It's almost as if whatever life one person once had, all of a sudden, because they've returned back to God, there's a big old party going on in heaven right now. Amen. Why? Because God loves those who once were lost, but now can be found. Can we just give God praise right now? In the name of Jesus. How does the Lord celebrate our lives, our future in him? It does not matter what we've done, how far we've strayed, or how long it's been. God wants you to know that your past does not have to determine your present, that this can be the day that you receive all that God has for you. This can be the day that you're renewed in the Spirit. This can be the day that you embrace godly destiny for your life and you walk off the pages and say, God, I trust in your power and in your presence. Lead me, Lord, because I want to follow you. Wasn't it the prophet Isaiah that said, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm looking around the room and I believe there are men and women and young people of faith that need to step into this role and say, hey, I don't know what I've done. I know I might have some limitations, but here I am, Lord, send me. Send me into the harvest. Send me into the battle. Send me out there into the highways and byways, God. Because there's a world who also needs to hear that we serve a God of the second chance. Amen. Do you believe that we serve the God of the second chance? If so, why don't we give God praise for that tonight? Jesus' work on Calvary was clear. It was an unmistakable declaration of God's love, that the love is unconditional. That even in their worst states, Jesus died for us. To borrow someone else's words for a moment on the subject of God's love, the God of the universe, the creator of nitrogen, pine needles, galaxies, and E minor, loves us all with a radical, unconditional, self-sacrificing love. Praise God. That's the kind of love that God has for us. The Apostle Paul describes this amazing love of the Lord in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But praise God for verse 4, amen. But God, here it is, who is rich in mercy. I'm thankful we serve a merciful God today. Amen. I'm thankful that we serve a powerful God today because of his great love, which was with he loved us. Praise God, he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What this passage declares at the very end is that you were created to rule and reign with Jesus on one glorious day. We are not called to be trapped in the muck, in the mire of this world. Why? Because God is full of mercy. He's rich in mercy today. He's full of compassion today. And he desires for all of us to come home. Amen. And as we stand tonight, sin has never scared Jesus away from us. Sin has never scared the Lord away from us tonight. So no matter where you find yourself today, despite the pig pens of life that somehow we find ourselves trapped in, because we thought we had a plan, we thought we had it all figured out, we thought we'd go and do it my way. Wasn't that Sinatra's song? I did it my way. This idea that I can do things and there's no consequence. I thought I'd have it all. I thought I was smarter than everybody else. And in the midst of my failure, in the midst of my choices, I somehow wound up in the pig pen of life. There has to be this moment where we come to the realization and shake off the dust of the world, shake off the dust of society, and simply declare that I know my Father loves me and God has something great in store for my life. If I can simply return home, if I could come to my senses just for a moment and realize one day with Jesus is greater than 1,000 days in the world. One day in the presence of God Almighty will transform my life so much so that there's nothing compared to what the world could offer me. Because I'd rather be with Jesus. I'd rather be in heaven. I'd rather be with the people of God than simply surround myself with the cares of life. Today is your second chance, my brother, my sister, my friend. God loves you. He's calling you to go deeper. He's calling you to simply say, I don't identify any longer with society. It feels like society's going a different direction. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have heaven. I'd rather have more of the Lord in my life than anything that can be offered to me outside of the four walls of the church. Yes, I'm called to be a light. Yes, I'm called to go reach my world. But I better have a sure foundation, and it better be the Word of God, the promises of the Lord, the promise of Scripture. Because as long as I can hold on to Jesus is the moment that I can extend with all of my might into a lost and a hurting world and extend the love of God through my words and my actions and my attitude. Why? Because the Lord is calling us to become an army for him, to get off the sidelines of life, embrace the second chance tonight, but then be willing to extend a hand of hope and love to a world that is in desperate need of people of faith today. I believe God's calling us tonight. And there's a couple of responses I would like. In a moment, we're going to come and pray here at the front. Not everyone in this room is prodigal. is a prodigal son or daughter. Not everybody in this room is in the pig pens of life, but for somebody, someone needs to hear the hope of Jesus Christ, that restoration is available today, that healing is available today. I don't know who you are, my good brother, my good sister, but we serve a God of the second chance. Calvary demonstrates how much God loves us. He desires to fill your life with hope today. Fill your life with greater dreams, godly dreams tonight. For somebody, it's time to come home. For some of us in this room today, it's time to embrace the call. The call to extend and live out this faith and be mobilized as an army, a mighty army in our community today, because God is calling us to embody a life of living a second chance to others. God is calling us to reach into the pig pens of society, reach out to the prodigal son, reach out to the prodigal daughters, and extend a lifeline of hope today. Jesus is calling us to become the church, and the church is on mission, action. It's moving. It's living. It's just not a place that I show up and just worship with other good people. And so in this room today, my second call is this. If you want to be part of God's army, if you want to be part of the mission force to reach into the pig pens of society, I'm asking you to also come to the front right now. So we need some folks in here that need a second chance. I know some folks that want to be the one to be the armor bearer of the second chance of God. Because God is calling us to be a light in the darkness. God is calling us to a place of restoration and hope and healing. Some of us need to first receive Jesus. We need to receive what God is able to do, the healing virtue of Calvary being extended into our life. God wants to heal somebody. God wants to transform somebody. God wants to help someone. God wants you to embrace the God of the second chance. And then there are others in this room. It's time to pick up the cross. It's time to pick up the mantle. It's time to get out into the highways and byways and reach into the pig pens of society and share God's love and compassion with a lost world. Can we all pray? Some of the folks are coming to the front. Others of you, maybe you're just fine. That's great. Would you extend a hand right now? Right where you are, begin to pray to Jesus. Say, God, here's what's going on. I pray, bless the folks that are here today. Bring strength, direction, deliverance. I pray, God, you raise up a mighty army today, a mighty army of young men and young women and people today. Amen. Men and women and children of faith today. God's trying to do something different. God is trying to do his thing. Amen. We've just got to get out of the way and trust in Jesus. Lord, I trust in you. I trust in your calling.